You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Tonight I want you to see a verse as a springboard that's been the motto of my life, and I want to give you something that I learned probably 25 or 30 years ago. And it so impressed me. It wasn't from me. It was from a great man of God as he prayed that night. I was preaching in North Carolina at Walkertown, big youth conference. It had to be about 25 years ago, if not longer. I preached that night, and I cannot tell you what I preached. Oh, I could go back in the notes and find out, but I have no idea what I preached. Another preacher who's a better preacher than I am, very exciting preacher, very good preacher, he preached, I cannot tell you one thing he preached. He could not tell you my message. I could not tell you his message. But I do know there was a man that came up. He's 20 years older than I am. He passed away almost 2 years ago. We share almost the same birthday, but 20 years apart. And he was a hero to me. His name is Bobby Robertson. Bobby Robertson stood that night after both preachers preached, and we had good altar calls, and the aisles were filled. And yet, isn't it amazing? I have no idea what I preached. And he preached, he prayed something, and when he prayed it, it really became a three-point outline. While I was praying, I remember where I was seated, and I pulled out a 3x5 card, and I wrote down the prayer of Bobby Robertson. The next Sunday night, I came to this church, the old building, and I said, I study, I prepare, I pray for these messages I preach, but this one, it just came to me. It was the prayer of a great man of God. Amen. You know, in my life, I have never studied my contemporaries. I've not really read my contemporaries. I always tried to get myself around the old guys. I still try to read the old guys. I keep their pictures in my study. I saw in front of this pulpit three great preachers that had about 180 years together pastoring. Two of them are home with the Lord now. Brother Hancock, Brother Bobby Robertson, and then Brother Barber's over here, and he's still alive. I want to get to men like that. I deliberately would drive out of my way to go see Lee Robertson. I'd pick him up at his house. We'd had lunch several times. I would go out of my way to be at any time I could with Brother Tom Malone. He preached the opening message of Golden State Baptist Institute many years before we had a college. I like being around him as much as I could. I like being around these great men of God. My Bible says in Jeremiah 5:5, would you read it with me? You've been sitting for a while. Let's stand together, shall we? Jeremiah 5:5. And I want to get to the prayer that was Bobby Robertson's prayer. It's in my study on the wall. It's in the ready room when you go to the chapel. In my office everywhere. I carry it with me. I have it with me. I have this pulpit. We had this picture taken. Bobby Robertson, America's pastor. And he gave that. I have the three-point outline on this. It will change your life. It'll change your school year in college. High school students, and that's all we have. The rest are out of here. High school students, it will change your high school. If you just obey the prayer of the man of God. The Bible calls in chapter 5, verse 5, great men. Great men are not necessarily that men that we applaud. Great men means they're aged men. They're experienced men. They've been down the road a little bit. Bobby Robertson had been down the road longer than I had. I was going to listen to him. I was not excited about listening to all my contemporaries. You know, Tom Malone, I can remember spending a lot of time with him. I was preaching at the Sword Conference, and you preached there this year. You preached there often. And I got done preaching Tuesday morning, second message, third message came up, and I passed him. I didn't realize he was in the front row listening. When I got finished preaching, he slapped at me, and I said, "Hello, sir, I'm sorry I didn't acknowledge you." And I said, "Dr. Malone." He said, "Hey, Brother Treiber, don't tell anybody. I'm telling everybody now. Let's cut out on the next preacher. Let's go sit in Brother Bobby's office and fellowship." Well, I tell you what, I'm going to stay for preaching, but if he says, "Let's go fellowship," I'll go fellowship. It was such a wonderful time, just such a wonderful time visiting with him. You know, never saw it happen. I was preaching a pastor school in Hammond, Indiana. Dr. Jack Howe said, "Tell the men and come and preach," I think it was Tuesday night. "Tell them how the experience of when you were filled with the Spirit of God." Well, he had one. He laid on the grave of his dad for 3 days. I said, "I've never had an experience like that, so you better get another speaker." He said, "Are you filled with the Spirit of God?" "I happen to be right now," I said. He said, "Tell us how you're filled." I never saw him. They said, Lee Robertson, he must have been in his 80s, stood on that second row on top of the pew and waved his Bible on those various points. I love those men and others like them. They influenced my life. Look at chapter 5, verse 5. Shall we read it together? Ready, begin. "I will get me unto the great man." Great men. They have known the way of the Lord. I want to try to catch up with someone that knows more than I know. I want to catch up with someone that's gone through church splits and watch people leave the church and watch sorrow come and bury loved ones and bury church members and have heartaches in their life and had a hard time meeting their budgets sometime. A difficult time. I want to get me to some great men. I want to take you to a great man's prayer tonight that literally transformed my life. I try to live this every day. I'm not always this way, but I try. Father, speak to our hearts is my prayer. Like you spoke to me, I guess maybe, I'm just guessing, 25 years ago, perhaps more. Perhaps longer than that, but I'll never forget where I was seated. I'll never forget his prayer. I'll never forget pulling out that 3x5 card and writing it down. I'll never forget coming home to my church so many years ago and preach it on a Sunday night. And I pray that someone here tonight would take it with them to a dormitory and to a home and to their bedroom and to their life and to the classroom, and to the workplace. And God, may this prayer of a great man change our lives is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to hasten quickly tonight so parents, you can get right involved in your orientation tonight. Brother Bobby prayed that night, "God, help us to be real." If you knew Bobby Robertson, and many of you did, he was just so real. His dad was a preacher and was a full-time banker because the church could not afford to pay him. He pastored right there near Brother Bobby where he pastored for 61 years, 1 year shy of what Isaiah pastored in the book of Isaiah where we'll be next week. Bobby's dad went to the bank that day and then would come home and farm. And then worked the church. Brother Bobby had 3 brothers. He was the youngest. He was in 8th grade. His dad fell over at work of a heart attack. That mother was left with 3 kids. He dropped out of school. He never went back to school. He went to the farm. God began to work on his heart. I don't say it out of disrespect to the great man of God. He would be in this pulpit and say, "Once I did this, twice I did this," and sometimes his tenses were not correct. And I would never mean to offend anybody by saying that. But I tell you what, he had executives that sat in that great auditorium. This auditorium is designed after his. The front of the church, I just took a picture of the outside, the pillars, and the 93-foot spire that's out there, and I gave it to an architect, said, this is what we want. People came to me and said, now, this is California, and they want more of a campus feel. I said, I want more of a church look. And so we put that out there. If you would look at Gospel Light Baptist Church and take a picture, you'd see the front of our building. This is basically his building. This seats 3,000. I think his is 2,500. And I'll tell you, that man that would have people sit at his feet, pilots, doctors, executives, and he could say twice and once as much as he wanted to, because they knew that they were sitting in the presence of a man of God, a man who was real, a man who knew God and was real. He'd stand in his pulpit during revival meetings, and I recall when I preached there for a week of revival, and he said, Bobby Robertson needs revival. And I thought, oh my goodness, if you need it, there's no hope for the rest of us. Such a real man. You want to know how to enjoy a good high school senior class? And how to enjoy a good college experience for 4 to 10 years? Whatever you choose or whatever we choose to keep you here. You want to know how to do it? Just be real. How many times people graduate from Bible college in America, from good Bible colleges, and 3 weeks after graduation, they've already turned. And they just lived the lifestyle that they were supposed to while in Bible college. You know what that's called? Feigning yourself. Oh, I plan to take you right now to the book of 1 Samuel, where Joab told this widow woman, this lady, you fake to be a widow, and you go and you talk to the prophet. And the prophet said, you're feigning yourself, lady. You're a fake. Absalom sent a lady, sent someone in and said, go see the man of God. And she feigned himself. And he said, I know you're at the door there. And he called her by name. And he said, you're feigning yourself. You're faking. You're a phony. God will never use a phony. These men I quoted, and Harold Seitler and so many others, I could tell you, oh, the old Monroe Parker and Cedar Holm and Clearwaters and the great men of God, Archer Winninger, Ed Nelson over there in Denver. I'm talking about the great men of God. I'm talking about men that knew God and live for God and serve God. Some of those old, original BBF preachers that preached the word of God. May I say, they were real. God can use you if you're not a phony. God could use a great marriage that's not a phony marriage. We're going through the motions. We're trying to act as if we have a real good marriage, but it's not a good marriage. Trying to act like I obey my mom. Oh, yes. Well, if you use the jargon, hey, how are things going? Well, praise the Lord, it's good. And sometimes you feel like saying, gag. Is that why you cannot ever use an old-fashioned altar? I told my staff during staff orientation this past year, I'm not saying you have to come every service, but I want to ask you the question I asked my staff. When was the last time you wept before God or prayed before God, old-fashioned altar? When the tears on the altar dry up, the church dries up. There has to be a moving of the Holy Spirit. When was that? Has it been a week? Maybe. Has it been a month? Well, maybe. When was the last time a husband and wife knelt, or a man knelt, or teenagers knelt, or knelt before God, or a person or a lady came? When was the last time you used the altar? Well, I know I hear it. I can do that in my pew. Yeah, but you don't. I get to hear this summer. I've heard a lot of these men, and the men that are out of the auditorium preach. I tell you what, every time they preach, I hit that altar. I thought, this is for me. They were preaching my messages I preached years ago, but this still was for me. These guys get things out of the Bible that I don't even know if God put them there, but they sound good. May I say, that's what Jim Tucker was to me. Brother Swanson, out of your church, Brother Tucker was that way. He was just real. He took me in almost 50 years ago now. When I was breaking into the ministry. And I'll never forget it, how he's just a country fella that worked in the factory. Had a sweet country wife that worked at the factory as well. The gum factory. I think Chiclets or something like that. They just took me in and they were so real. Such good people. That's what my dad was to me. My dad was no pretense. My dad was a real thing. My dad would never get mad at people. He took a strong stand, but he never got mad at people in the church. My dad was never part of something crossways against the preacher. Thank God he loved the pastor and his wife, because my twin sister married their only son. And they're nearing 50 years of marriage. And I want you to know that that would have been a hard day if they had to share grandkids with a pastor they walked out on and hurt. A lot of you are shaking your head. You knew my dad, such a good man. Hear the right, O Lord, attend to my cry. And give ear to my prayer that goeth not out of unfeigned lips. Don't fake the prayer. Don't fake the life. In England, so many years ago, a lady went to go visit, a young lady went to go see her family, distant family. She went into this palatial palace to meet her family. She went there by boat, and she got off the dock, and out the boat and off the dock, and they took her in a carriage. She was a godly Christian. When she made a pact, she said, while I go see this high society family of mine, I am not going to talk about Christ. I am not going to come across harsh or heavy. I'm not going to even talk about him at all. I'm just going to fit right in. I'll leave the Christianity on the boat. The last day came, and a neighbor, a lady of high society, a woman in that area of England of great wealth, a fashionable lady, she came to the palace where they were staying, and she said, I need to see your cousin that came to visit. I've heard about her. And they went for a stroll through the garden that day. And she said, After a long time, she goes, I got the wrong girl. I wanted to talk to your sister. And she said, I don't have a sister. She said, no, I wanted to talk to the one who is the real religious lady. He says, that's me. She said, then why haven't you talked to me about him? She said, I have money, I have position in society, but I am a miserable lady. I want what I heard that you have, but apparently you don't have it. She had decided to feign herself. I'll tell you, these young people, these rules in this school, the rule book's about that thick. It's so small. It's so small. It's just a little thin little thing. Basically, don't do drugs. Don't get drunk. I mean, come on. They're not hard, difficult. They're not grievous. And some may act like I'm, whether an elementary or junior high or high school or college or math, I'm obeying those. I believe it. I'll stick with it. But in the quietness of your heart and life, it'll be another life. I find the second part of that prayer was, he said, be real. I'll never forget it. Be real. Be real. And I thought of that man's life. He was so real. I want to be real. And then he said, Lord, The second phrase, help us to confess our sins. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. As we pillow our head every night, may it be said that there's nothing between me and God. And there will be something between you and God if there's something between you and man, because this is a reflection of this. And when I'm not right with you, I'm not right with God. You say, when I'm going through some hard time, these people, but blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. There will be enemies on the pathway of life, but make sure that they call you the enemy instead of you call them the enemy. These dormitories are made to get along. These dormitories were made for roommates to get on their knees together and pray that God would mightily use you. The school over there was built for classrooms where the junior class can get together and pray together as a class. Oh, God, use our class. And 10 years from now, 20 years from now, may we be living for Christ. May we do things right. May we not lie to the principal. May we not lie to the dean of students. May we tell the truth. May we not lie to God. Confession's a wonderful thing. You know, if I were to lie to my father when he was alive, if I would lie to him, I'd still have been his son. Sonship is not ever affected. I'm his son. I knew a man since I pastored this church. He went down to the county and emancipated his daughter. He says, though she was born, I don't want her to be my daughter. Well, you know what? You can emancipate somebody if you want, but the truth of the matter is, there's only one man that can claim to be her dad. If I sinned against my dad, lied against to my dad would have not disowned me. He is my dad. But what would have happened? Sonship was not affected, but fellowship was. And fellowship, my dad wouldn't be able to trust me. I can remember when I would transgress. My dad grew up the old-fashioned way. I can hear the belt coming off. He'd say, Jack, go to your room, and the belt would come off. By the way, you can fault that all you want, but we used to have a generation of people that wanted to obey their parents.
Yes. Amen.
The child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. He'd walk in the room, the belt would come off. He didn't do a lot of talking. He'd say, bend over, son, across my knee. He'd spank me about 3 times. Oh, I can remember it. I can remember it. I'd get so mad in my heart. I'd think things I should not have thought about my dad, who was the sweetest, most godly, kind man in all the world who loved me so much. I'd think I hate him. He must have knew I was seething. He said, you just sit here, son, in your bed. When you're ready, you come back out and talk to me. That's it. I was so mad. I'd come out and say, I'm sorry. He said, why don't you go back to your room and think a little bit longer? I'd go back, and somewhere along the line, my heart would break because I knew I hurt him. I knew I hurt him. I said, Dad, I'm sorry. My dad would hug me. He was so kind to me. You know what was being restored? Fellowship. And so Brother Bobby prayed, I'm out of time. God, help us to be real. Help us to confess our sins. And the third thing he said, help us to walk humbly before you. Help us to walk humbly before you. I know the word humble means low. I like the definition of what one old preacher said, humility is not thinking low of yourself, though I know that's what the word is. It's not thinking high of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself. You know, I have my rights. So I'm going to the HR department. I have my rights. And I'll tell you what, you did something wrong and you gave me demerits that I deserve. I'm going to take the internet. I'm going to take my cause up. You know, in school, when the principal gives you demerits, I'm not saying you can't talk to him about it. And he may have got the wrong person. It was probably a girl that set the school on fire, not a guy. You have the right to say, really, you have the wrong person. But you know that tonight, if it was you, you've done so many things that we never caught you for. It's sort of like, I don't know when the last time, it was, I think at least 30 years ago, I got my last speeding ticket. But if they pulled me over and I really wasn't speeding, I was just keeping up with the traffic, 97 miles an hour, pedal to the metal type thing, you know. If that was the case, I wouldn't contest it. Because I got away with it so often. The police officers, all the cars were out here, and the chief was here Sunday as he retired. A whole bunch of them, there about 8 of them, 10 of them standing out there. I was talking to them. I said, you won't believe what I did. And I told them what I did and how fast I was going. And I'm not going to say it lest you think I'm making it legal for you. And I said, when you get to that, and I was over that, and I wasn't trying to. I was just coming home from Northern California. I got on that 505. You know where I was at. And I passed the 50 mile an hour. And don't look at me like that, honey. I know she's, I know. Okay, all right. And I got up to these numbers. I said, whoa. Because I know it be lower than that number, they arrest you. And I told these officers, yeah, that was a little fast, Pastor. It was a little fast. But may I say this? We think so highly of ourselves if we're not careful. And oh, I have my rights, and you're treating me wrong. You're not going to believe this. Elementary and high school and college and church family, we've had 4 months to pray that we could get ready, and our curriculum could get ready, and our buildings could get ready on both properties, that you might have the greatest year of your life, that God may do something in your life. Because I remember in those years, I was in Bible college one particular year. That was the time, second semester, when I was going to quit school the next day, when I was going to quit, that God showed up that morning. I know he showed up. I was in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12, and God showed up that day. And he said, stay in college, Jack. I'm glad to obey the Spirit of God. Because I would have never known my wife. I would have never known our kids. Not with her. I would have never known this work. I'd have never known a college, a school. All that God's done. Who knows what God's going to call you to do in these years you're here. F.B. Meyer was a contemporary of Spurgeon. March 9th, 1929, he's ebbing away. He's ready to die. And a few weeks before his death, he wrote these words. I caught a glimpse of heaven today. It makes me want to crawl and creep into heaven. That's humility. Oh, what a great man he was. The Bible says in Micah 6, he has shown me, oh man, what is good and what he doth require of thee to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before God. You'll have a good year. You'll have a good marriage. You'll have a good life if we could just learn to walk humbly before God. A man's pride shall bring him low. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven, an abomination, a proud look. Proud people become victims. Proud people become offended. Proud people blame. Proud people attack. Proud people are unkind. Proud people are hurtful. Proud people, only by pride come with contention. So I've kept these everywhere. I have them everywhere. I love that. He's in heaven now. That night at a youth conference in North Carolina, the man that says twice, once, that man said, oh, God. And I could hear him praying it. I wish somebody could find that if it's on tape or CD or probably cassette back then. He was weeping. His heart was so broken. Help us to be real. Brother Fernero, students, faculty, staff of the school, pastor of the church, faculty, staff of the college, students here, if we could just be real. Don't fake it. No phony baloney. Just be real. And then let's just confess our sins. Use an old-fashioned altar. You boys do it so many, and now so many of them are preachers of churches all over America, our missionaries. Do what so many through the years have done. Go to that park early in the morning. Most of the time the sun is just barely going to break through. And I look out my window over there. And I see him walking. And I see him do this and talking. And they're praying. I remember Brother Brent Strove walking out there all the time. And he preaches in Virginia now, a great church. He's trying to get a hold of God. Let God get a hold of him. Be real. Confess your sins and walk humbly.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.